Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. We are glad you're on board today, as we always are. But today, just, you know, it's a Monday. It's Packers football getting you ready for Thursday night and Winnipeg, Canada. Brewers coming back off of a rather inauspicious trip in which they ended up losing 2 out of 3 and gave up 30 runs in the last two games to the Washington Nationals. Now they're off to St. Louis, where they're going to take on the Cardinals tonight. But Packers football-wise, Aaron Rodgers not practicing. They had a little bit of that stiff back going on. The backup's not looking great. Matt LaFleur not real happy. So there's a lot of stuff to discuss. We'll talk to Paul Emmy coming up here momentarily. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state and well beyond the borders as well. If you've got an issue, they have a 98% success rate at treating it. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call the medical experts at Newmel Medical, 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451, and check it out for yourself. In addition to that, they have the all-in-one weight loss program, which works, and it's fantastic. And, by the way, they also have the low T treatments, which gives you more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. So you got to check that out as well. Make sure you call our friends at New Mail Medical today. Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, standing by. And, Paul, so out of Green Bay, we hear that Matt LaFleur is not happy with his guys as of right now because the offense seems to be sloppy. He's got an injury to the hand of Jimmy Graham. Aaron Rodgers not practicing. The backup's not looking good. Tell me, what point do you get concerned for this offense?
If that's true, the night after the Bears game. You know, or the night of the Bears game. But that's when I get concerned. But that doesn't mean it's not concerning, like, in the meantime. Like, it would just, I mean, things can change. You know, back tightness can improve. I don't know if it would be, like, if you were, you know, to poll the Packers fan base and say, would you rather Rodgers play in a meaningless preseason game with even minor back tightness or, you know, not have him do that, but then not take any preseason snaps and basically go into week one on the road against what might be the NFL's best defense, having never taken a snap in Matt LaFleur's offense, which is the better option? You know, I don't think either is a good option. And I think if you start to look at the backup quarterback play right now, Bill, I mean, I've been telling you since, well, a while, like even before training camp, that I would need to see something from Kaiser and Israel to not think that the Packers don't have their number two to be on the roster right now. And I think everything we've seen so far would indicate Brian Gutekunst, you know, is either hoping and praying that Aaron Rodgers plays a healthy 16 games this season, or he's scouring the market trying to see what else he can come up with. Because if you told me right now that, you know, and I'm not going to give you names of quarterbacks, backups across the league, but if you told me right now that, like, hey, Paul, you're the Packers GM, would you give up a mid-round pick in next year's draft to have a better backup QB? I would say yes. I would do that very quickly because I'm just not one of those people, Bill, that's willing to say, well, Rodgers is out, so the season's lost anyway. The Eagles won the Super Bowl 2 years ago with their backup quarterback.
Right.
That's not a good theory, man. Like, if that's the case, you know what the truth is, Bill, is that's where they're at. with their current quarterback situation, if Rodgers is out, it is a lost season. But you don't want that to be true. So it's definitely at the concerning level right now. But I'm willing to give it another, 2.5 weeks until opening night. And then if it looks like crap, then we have a whole other discussion to begin.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. When you hear stories about an offense that's not clicking and Aaron Rodgers at the helm, and you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here thinking there's problems. I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, you start questioning, okay, did they hire the right guy? Are they teaching it the right way? It's another offense that some of these guys are learning, like DeShone Kizer. This is his, third offense in 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are they doing the right thing? Those are the kind of things that I begin to think about. Now, I'm not, sitting here saying that, Matt LaFleur is incompetent or anything like that. I'm just simply saying that how much longer for a team that's expected to compete is it going to take for the team to compete? You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that is why, or at least a reason why, they amped up the defense the way they did this offseason, Bill, was to that Rodgers are getting older. They're bringing in a new head coach. They're doing a lot of different things from an offensive perspective that, you maybe just can't count on the 2019 Packers offense to be top 10. Can you? I don't think you can, right? Even if Rodgers is healthy. Can you tell me with certainty? Oh, yeah, that's a top 10 offense. I could argue it should be. On paper, if you're drawing this up and putting it into putting it into Madden and playing the video game version, you told me I could have Rodgers, Bakhtiari, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and a pretty darn good offensive line around Bakhtiari. I would take that, man. I would. I think that's a pretty good group. But there's so many variables. Rodgers' age, and more importantly with his age, the injury history. Now you have back tightness. And just the fact that you do have a new head coach who's never been a head coach before, but who's an offensive play caller. And there's just a lot of variables. So I think when you start to say, a team that's expected to be good or has expectations internally and externally to be good, not just good, but, really good. Not just a playoff team, but a team that wins a playoff game or two or three. Then that's why you build up the defense, so that you don't have to rely as much on the offense. But I wonder, Bill, as we get more and more of missed practices from Rodgers, missed practices from Rodgers, if this is maybe the way that, Brian Gutekunst was trying to figure out, how do I make sure this is a good team with all this uncertainty around the offense. And, if Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, Rashawn Terry, Darnell Savage, and the rest of those guys pan out, or at least if several of them pan out, then this might just be a defensive-led football team that has a questionable offense. And that maybe that's where we're headed.
Oh, my goodness. You don't say that.
It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's possible, but oh my goodness, don't say that. Oh God, I can't imagine that. Hey, with the tight end position, Sternberger is still, in concussion protocol. What you saw to Jimmy Graham the other night? Give me your thoughts, because I was disappointed. I mean, he looks slow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the injury now too, which seems like it's going to be something that's not going to be as serious as maybe what was initially feared or what could have been possible. Bill, I'm not a Jimmy Graham fan. I'm not. I think the veteran experience that he has, the fact that he's making the $10, $11 million per year that he is, sort of gives him, the first leg up in a race for snaps. And we've talked many times in the past years, Bill, about how it's really, really hard as a tight end to come in on your rookie year and contribute. I mean, every time a tight end is drafted in the first round and they have sky-high expectations, they almost never meet them. I mean, Eric Ebron in Detroit being one of the recent examples in the past 5 years. And so with Sternberger, it's like, even had he not missed all this time with an injury, I still wouldn't have thought, yeah, that's your guy this year. I'm gaining more and more on, the Tanyan train. Are you starting to get there?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting there, man. I'm getting to the point where I'm like, you know what? Let's feature Tanyan. What do you think?
He's got to block better. I mean, that's the other thing. If Tanya doesn't block better, he's not going to find himself on the field as much. But I'm agreeing. I think that Tanyan is a guy that, as a pass catcher, has ability. As a blocker to stay, otherwise he becomes predictable. Whenever he's on the field, look for him to catch a pass. You know what I mean?
But didn't you just also describe Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, but Jimmy Graham, when you're a mismatch nightmare, you can come in and say, "Go ahead and stop me."
Okay, sure.
You know what I mean? Yep. When he was in his heyday, that's all he was.
Right.
So he wasn't going to come in and start blocking a bunch of people, but he was also their main guy, so he was on the field more often than not. You know what I mean?
He was. And again, it's not like I realistically think that the depth chart, you know, in 17 days in Chicago week one is going to say one Tanyan, two Graham. Like, it's not, but Jimmy Graham for me at this point, Bill, was, and again, he thinks he's going to have a bounce-back season. Aaron Rodgers thinks he's going to have a bounce-back season. The Packers could have cut ties with him this offseason. Yes, there would have been some dead money, but they could have done it. They chose not to. They chose to bring him back. They thought last year was just a bad season. I'm in the I need to see it to believe it camp with Jimmy Graham. So, I mean, much more to come, I think, in terms of proving his value and his worth to this team as an $11 million a year tight end.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Before I let you go, Paul, I wanted to ask you as well, and I talked to Eric Brancheck about this. Mason Crosby, give me your thoughts on the kicking competition right now.
Well, I think when you have Crosby's track record, you need to be absolute worst. You need to be injured to lose your job, or you need to just be absolutely destroyed, I think, in a one-on-one competition. Now, they wouldn't have had brought in competition for him internally. And, you know, Crosby's talked about this for years, though. Like, because there was it 2013 when they brought in Giorgio Tavecchio, and then there was another year in 2014 they brought in competition. And Crosby had maintained throughout his entire career, especially once he did have started to have those struggles, and he had that 2-for-9 family night, and he had that one season there going back 5, 6, 7 years, that was less than ideal, that you don't need somebody in camp, you don't need another kicker in camp to feel pressure, to feel like you're competing for your job, because several teams throughout the league on an annual basis, the kicker who they have throughout training camp is suddenly not their kicker entering week one. You know, roster cutdowns happen in early September, and, you know, new kickers are on new teams, and that's just sort of the way the team's ended it. So I do think, you know, we're to a point, and I know Matt LaFleur talked about it over the weekend, and, you know, and why some of the practice field goal attempts in practice are 33 yards, as if you can learn anything from that. So I've seen it before, Bill. I've seen the competition come in. I've seen Crosby very, you know, have a very 50-50 battle with that competition and yet still remains the guy. And I think that's just what, you know, a decade of experience, a decade plus of kicking at Lambeau Field, where a lot of people know, can have interesting wind patterns. You know, you do say, by the way, if you cut him, you save $4 million. So you kind of have to also look at it and say, hey, if they'll cut Mike Daniels to save $8 million, you know, do you cut Crosby to save $4 million?
Right.
So there's an aspect of financials to it, but, man, unless Crosby, you know, because he started out the year, he started out training camp injured. I mean, unless it's something that they're worried about medically, I'd be surprised if he was a cut-down casualty. But, I just kind of feel like he's the default and someone has to really beat him or he has to get hurt to lose it. But who knows, man? The kicking competition across the league is probably one of the more unpredictable, if not the most unpredictable spot, because all of a sudden, you know, GMs just decide that Robbie Gould was old one day. He's old. He's bad. He's got to get rid of him. And then he goes on and has a much better career, and then the Bears find themselves in the situation they're kicking. So I would be cautious, I think, to go with somebody other than Crosby, but, you know, who knows, right?
No doubt. Paul, good stuff. Certainly appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon, okay?
Hey, Bill, Wednesday, I would love to run through the wide receivers one by one and take, you know, me versus you on a percentage chance that guy's on the roster, because I'm starting to think St. Brown and Moore might both not be on it, and I'd love to go back and forth with you on the whole list of names and kind of see where we agree or disagree.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Okay?
Cool.
Appreciate
right.
it, pal.
Right,
there cool. you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes from a wind tunnel, apparently. On the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80 plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Ken writes, I'm not concerned about the Packers offense. I'm concerned about Paul Emig's sailing experience, as he calls the show from Lake Winnebago or Lake Michigan, whichever he's sailing on today. Skip writes, exactly, it's too predictable. Even with Matt LaFleur, we know a shotgun is going to be a pass, under center is going to be a run. No. There's more under center now than we've seen. Now, we'll see what this kind of works into, okay? But no, I'm not buying into that. Just because we haven't seen, it's been very vanilla, and yeah, in shotgun, they do traditionally pass out of that, but I'm not prepared to go there, to be honest with you. So let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's see what happens first. Let's see what happens and how this offense unfolds before we say that this is going to be an offense that's very predictable, because I don't think it is. I don't think it's going to be anything like you expect it to be. Also, you can chime in many different facets. You can hit us up on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels. You can also find us over on the Facebook fan page as well, and plenty of ways to be a part of the program. This one is from Art, and Art says, I'm waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come back to really see how this offense is going to function. Remember, we haven't seen too many starters as of yet, even though they haven't looked good in training camp. Do you think they're going to be able to look good on Thursday night against the Bears? That's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, isn't it? I mean, look, we can talk about this team being ready, being prepared, whatever you want to call it, but it's all, when the lights go on, guys want to perform well, okay? You want to be good, and I just don't know if this team's going to be that good. Now, I'm not going to be overwhelmingly concerned about it if this thing doesn't get off and running to the point where, you know, well, they took a loss. I mean, you don't want to lose. You know, I don't want to poo-poo this because I think that would be wrong. But the reality of this is you also, one, it's the Bears. Come on, let's be honest, right? It's the Bears. You want to beat them. It's a divisional game. You want to beat them. It's an NFC game. You want to beat them. There's plenty of reasons to go out and say, other than just the rivalry, and say, we got to get this, right? So there's no reason for you to kind of, there's a lot of people saying, well, don't worry about it if they lose the first one. Yes, if they lose the first one. Look, if they go out and get beat and they get beat handily, I'm completely bothered by it. If they go out and it's a close game, and am I going to be as concerned? No, of course not. But I'm telling you, this sets the tone. I mean, I really thought last year was going to be something where the Packers, after Aaron Rodgers came walking out of the tunnel and the Packers went on to win that game, I thought, okay, this is going to be the one we're going to look back on and we're going to say, okay, this is where it all started. This is where the tone was set, and it never materialized. So, yeah, things can change. If you go out and you lay an egg, you can certainly turn it around and come back, and people will look back on your season if you end up in the postseason and go, look how the season began. Okay, I understand that. But, man, it's like losing two games. You lose to the Bears, right? As much as I want to say it's no big deal, if they go out and play a hard-fought game and they come up short, say 24-21, and the defense plays well, gets a couple of turnovers, and Aaron Rodgers plays well, and the offense is moving, and it was just one of those games where the Bears maybe just out-grinded you, okay? I get it. Don't like it, but I get it. But if you go out and you get beat, you know, 35-10, and you get drilled, and your offense doesn't do anything, and your defense is giving up a ton of tackles or tackle-less football, and you're not able to get a turnover, and they run roughshod over you, we're going to look back on this, and we're going to go, we saw this coming. We saw this coming. I think the Packers defensively are a lot better. Now, you got to tackle the ball carrier to be considered a lot better, but you know what I mean. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Tom, listening to us in Stillwater, Minnesota. Tom, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good, Bill. Happy Monday to you.
You too, man. What's happening?
Well, first off, I owe you an apology. I was the guy that's called from time to time giving you and Gary a hard time for never coming up here for the Viking-Packer game.
Okay.
After you know, but then I saw the schedule for this year, and man, it couldn't have been any worse. I mean, a Monday night, the 23rd of December.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I don't can't expect you guys to travel at that time of year.
Yeah, I would love to. I don't know if we're going to be able to, but I would love to. That's for darn sure. So I haven't set my travel plans as of yet, but that is one that I've circled and I would like to go to. So we'll see what happens before it's all said and done.
Yeah, if you can make it, that'd be terrific, but we might need to save our fun and for another year.
No, I get it.
Here's the question. Could you give me a quick rundown on the starters and the depth there in the secondary? That's question one. And then question two is, was there a mistake made by not trying to re-sign Breland? I'll take this offline. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. As far as the depth goes with this team, right now, your secondary, okay, barring nagging injury that's going to keep guys out of this, and I'm excited about this, okay, you're going to have Adrian Amos back there. He's going to be kind of your stabilizing guy when it comes to the safety position. Darnell Savage Jr., you're hoping to have on the field consistently. You're going to have the backup, a guy that can play corner or safety. You can have a guy like Tremont Williams with his knowledge, Jair Alexander, Kevin King. Kevin King's got to get healthy, though, and be consistent in it. Then you're pretty – if you look at those four guys, five guys as starters and a backup, you're pretty solid. You're pretty solid. You've got solid guys on the outside with Preston Smith and Zadarius, okay? So you're pretty solid there. Blake Martinez has only gotten better each and every year. I really like the way Ty Summers has come on, because Oren Burks is not going to be around for long because of that pectoral muscle or that muscle problem that he's got in his chest. So I don't think he's going to be right for this world probably until the latter portion of the season, if at all. What has to happen for this defense to be good, in my opinion, is you have to have guys to rotate in. Kenny Clark's going to be your nose tackle. A guy like Tyler Lancaster, who can move all over. He's a guy that impressed a lot of people last year, even though he was a college free agent. They just picked him up. He's a guy that's been impressive. I need to see something. Dean Lowry's been good, but Dean Lowry has also racked up some statistics against poor teams. That doesn't mean he's not good. It just means that against lesser players, he's been able to beat them. I want to see him beat consistently the likes of the front line of the Bears, and the Vikings don't have a great offensive line, but he's got to get fat there as well, okay? But Montrevious Adams has to give me something. Kingsley Kiki has to give me something. Fadal Brown has to give me something, you know? Those guys have to give me something. Kyler Fackrell has to give me something. And then you have to go from there. Rashawn Gary has to give me some. Dude, so you're on a milk carton after the first few snaps of that first preseason game. He needs to give me something. So overall, the starters defensively, I think, are solid. Where I think they lack right now is the question marks of depth. I don't know how good they're going to be. But I'm excited about the second. If you can keep Kevin King and Jair Alexander on the field and keep them healthy and bring in Tremont Williams, bring in the likes of I don't want to say necessarily Tony Brown, but let's say Josh Jackson. He can cover in the slot. Pretty good there. You know what I mean? Kadar Holman, he can cover in the slot. Pretty good there. If you can keep those guys healthy and on the field, I think you're going to have a really solid secondary. But the secondary is always predicated upon how much pressure you get up front. It all starts in the trenches. Can this team win in the trenches? Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Hang in there. We got a lot more coming up. Stay tuned. We got Joe, Charlie, Barry, everybody's on hold talking Packer football. We've got more after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad you are here. Our friends over at Cousin Subs, they've been getting it done for a long, long, long time. Yes, they have. Grilling them up hot, made to order. Right off the grill for over 45 years. Cheesesteak, Phillies, bacon cheddars, bacon mushroom Swiss. Ha, the Bill Michaels. Pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese. Throw it on a good Italian bread right there. They've got it. Each sub topped with only the finest freshly sliced Wisconsin cheeses and veggies and their signature baked bread, which is baked daily, by the way. Don't forget about the delicious fries or the Wisconsin cheese curds. Order online or pick up for delivery, by the way, at select locations. That's CousinSubs.com. Go to CousinSubs.com where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's get back to it. Talking Packers football right now. Let's see here. Barry's been on hold the longest. Barry listening to us in Appleton on the Score. Barry, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Good. Yourself?
I'm doing well, man. What's happening? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking there's a reason they went out and spent a lot of cash in free agency on defense. You know, the offense is going to be one of those, like, wonder things working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be like Vince Lombardi says, what the heck's going on out there at times? Times are going to look good. It's the first year for the offense. The defense should be good, I think. Well, you know, they got some good free agents. They got some, you know, holdover talent.
I believe defensively speaking, appreciate the phone call, Joe, or Barry, excuse me. I believe the defense is better. I don't know how much better, okay? Adrian Amos, it wasn't like they were pining to keep him in Chicago. I think he's stable. I don't think he's a turnover machine when it comes to picks. I also like what we've got in the secondary, but I believe it's very young. I like Blake Martinez. I don't know what his ceiling is because for him to be an elite middle linebacker in this league, he's got to get better. I like what they've done to the outside with Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, and I think they're going to have a pretty good pass rush. They have to get big pressure from up front, and that's Kenny Clark, and can he come back from injury and be injury-free? They need him. They need Montrevious Adams to step up, and they've got to find something else because you let Mike Daniels go. You let him walk. Now, Dean Lowry has to be the real deal. Tyler Lancaster has to be the real deal. Kyler Fackrell has to come and fill in and be the real deal. Kingsley Keke has to be the real deal. You've got to get something from these. And Rashawn Gary, that's your first round draft choice, man. He's got to give you something. So far, he's trying to figure it out, and he made his bones being a bull rusher at Michigan. He wasn't a sack machine, so what is he? He's on the outside looking in right now when it comes to the linebacking position, but I've seen him blow up a couple of plays to where you saw some of that brute strength, and after that, guys in the NFL, they adjust. They're not going to get leveled every damn time. So Rashawn Gary's got to figure something out, and he hasn't been impressive when it comes to the preseason so far. Now, it's only a couple of games, but you'd like to see your first-round draft choice give you a little bit more than what he's given you thus far. Back to the phone calls. By the way, if you want to chime in, 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag Admirals50 talk line. Let's go to Joe listening to us in Menominee. Joe, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, Billy. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
You hit a lot of stuff on the head. And as a Packer fan, I think Packer fans have been spoiled for a long time. And talking about how young the secondary is, and we got new D-line with Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, some of the linebacking crew. And like you said, a lot of these guys, like you're counting on Lancaster, a couple of the other guys, Lowry, these guys got a hit. They don't hit. I mean, these guys, Bill, like, they're going to, like, I think, like, last year, Penn, he was moving guys in and out, keeping guys fresh. But the big thing is these guys are going to have to stay healthy. If they can't stay healthy, I mean, it's going to be like last year and the year before. Other thing is, too, with, you know, a number of new people on defense, the chemistry. It's no different than, like, basketball or baseball, but like you said, the pass rush dictates your secondary. And if we don't have a pass rush, our secondary is going to get exploited really bad.
Right.
As far as offense, I mean, I saw some of the guys, beat writers, saying how bad of a practice it was yesterday, whatnot. I don't know to what extent. You know.
Joe's dropping off. Joe, appreciate the phone call. You're dropping out. You're breaking up pretty bad. When it comes to appreciating the pass rush, and that's just what I said, is if you do not get pressure up front, doesn't matter what guys are doing in the secondary. You can only hold on average for 3.5 to 4 seconds. After that, it's up for grabs. And it's very tough because you don't know where they're going and they do. You know, it's master the obvious stuff, but it is what it is. So I think the secondary is quality. I think the defense is better. I'm anxious to see it all together. And then the other kind of, if you want to put an asterisk next to this, team has to tackle better. If they tackle, if they're fundamentally sound, they don't need to be world beaters. They can put themselves in the top 15, in the top 12, maybe even top 10, just being. Just doing what they do and being who they are. But I don't think there's anybody, or right now, if I had to pick Pro Bowlers off of this defense, because really, defensively speaking, if you're going to be in the top 10, you got to have some serious Pro Bowlers. I think Kenny Clark can be. Okay. I think Jaire Alexander could be. I really do. I think he's got that potential. Now, the rest, is it going to be Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith? You know, Darnell Savage Jr. is a rookie. Can Adrian Amos shine and flourish in Mike Pettine's system? Kevin King, you know, can as a third-year guy, can he come on strong and remain injury-free and become the corner that every... See, I don't know what they have when it comes to Pro Bowlers that are going to anchor this defense. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. And I think for this team to be in the top 10, you got to have more than one guy, two guys, three guys that are great. The year they won the Super Bowl, you had the likes of a good Clay Matthews at his peak. The best season you ever got out of A.J. Hawk, Nick Collins. You had, obviously, Charles Woodson, the Defensive Player of the Year. You had B.J. Raji getting notoriety for a Pro Bowl appearance as a nose tackle. You had a lot of guys that were contributing at a high, high, high level. That's what, for this team to be successful, that's what you have to have. Defensively speaking, if your offense is relatively inept. If your offense is better than average, then all you got to do is just sustain. Just go support the offense. But this team is going to have to, if the offense is not good, not only are they going to have to be good defensively at getting off the field, specifically on third down with a 35% or less margin, they're also going to have to lead the league in turnovers, or at least be a top five, to keep giving the ball back to the offense, an offense that may not be as good as expected. Let's go to Nick, listening to us in Oshkosh. Nick, how you doing, man? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, I know we're talking a lot about defense here. I want to go to the Packers' offensive line and how crucial that battle between Elgin Jenkins and Lane Taylor at left guard.
Mm-hmm.
And if Brian Bulaga can stay healthy all year, how you think that offensive line will help all Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I think that would be – no, I appreciate it, Nick. First of all, to say that with the Elgin Jenkins and Lane Taylor's the incumbent, okay? He's the guy that's been there, done that. He's familiar with David Bakhtiari. They've had that good working relationship on that left side of the line. So unless Elgin Jenkins comes in and just completely starts mauling and destroying people, I think between Jenkins and Cole Madison and company, I think you've got pretty good depth there. Probably the best depth you've had in a while. A guy like Justin McCray, Lucas Patrick. You can go through some of the lists, some of the names that you know. When it comes to Brian Bulaga, the bottom line is this. If he stays healthy, Brian Bulaga's only Achilles heel now at his age is speed. High speed coming from the outside, he has always struggled with. But if you want a run block, if you want a guy that's not speed but more of a bull rusher, you're not going to beat Brian Bulaga. He's been really good in that area. But if you get a guy with a really big motor on the outside that has speed, that has good lateral movement, good upfield movement, can get around Brian Bulaga, that's been the one that's been kind of the one thing that has been able to, I don't want to say more often than not, but that's been one thing that's been able to beat him. Is the speed. But other than that, I'd say this is probably the deepest the offensive line has been in some time. Now, the proof is going to be in the pudding because I'm not, as much as I want to talk about protecting Aaron Rodgers, this I want to see them run the ball. I want to see them with the ability to run the ball, create some holes, pull some guys, move some guys. I want to see this team create some ability to run the football and take the pressure off of Aaron Rodgers and play a little ball control offense. Not that this team is set up for that. But just a little, the semblance of that. Keep safeties out of the box. Last year, they were just gearing up. We're going to stop that run because Aaron Rodgers and these wide receivers, they're not on the same page, and Aaron's trying to throw to an open guy rather than a spot. He doesn't trust him. He's throwing the ball away. We can get him on the run, so we're going to pack the box. And normally, remember, it was single high safety. It just, he ate you up all damn day years ago. Not anymore. Because they haven't had the talent at the wide receiving position to do it. So if you can run the ball, bring some guys into the box, and then Aaron Rodgers and some of the talent that I believe they have is able to do some things over the top on the outside, this offense can look a lot more dynamic. But the proof is in the pudding, and we have yet to see it. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Final segment of the program is coming up. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, they are also the official sponsor of the Milwaukee Rally. Go to MilwaukeeRally.com. That is MilwaukeeRally.com to see everything that's coming to town in about a week and a half. as you're going to have motorcycles from all around the world coming into Wisconsin, coming into Milwaukee, kind of paying an homage, if you will, to motorcycling and to Harley-Davidson. But go to MilwaukeeRally.com. That's MilwaukeeRally.com. Brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, Budweiser and Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll wrap things up coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a Chili's Green and Gold update, presented by Chili's $3 for $10 deal and the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, Green Bay. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers practice in pads and shorts for 2 hours. Some players returning to limited action included running back Jamal Williams, receiver and returner Trevor Davis, and defensive back Josh Jackson. Now, Aaron Rodgers did not practice due to a stiff back. Jimmy Graham had to leave after injuring a finger, catching a bullet from DeShone Kizer. Now, the team drills got off to a bad start when rookie running back Dexter Williams didn't seem to understand the play call in the red zone. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
First play of practice. We got a competition period. Wanted to switch it up today and put the competition period at the beginning of practice, and it wasn't like a play call coming out of left field. It's something that we had scripted, and when we get out there and we don't know what we're doing and we run a busted assignment, that's pretty irritating to me. It doesn't make sense to me.
Quarterbacks DeShone Kizer and Tim Boyle struggled. The best pass of the day came from fourth string quarterback Manny Wilkins, who hit Marquez Valdez-Scantling in stride 45 yards downfield. So the Packers face the Raiders Thursday night in Winnipeg. Davante Adams was teammates with Raiders quarterback Derek Carr in college at Fresno State. Carr joked he could cover Adams because he knows all of his moves. What was Devontae's response?
That's inaccurate. I'll say if he wants to get out there, I would love for Derek to get on the other side just so I can show the world what it looks like when a regular person gets out there and covers a crafted wide receiver. He's not quite ready for me.
And as the Raiders shut down their training camp in Napa Valley, GM Mike Mayock issued this ultimatum to Antonio Brown about wanting to play using his old helmet.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. But at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out. Okay?
That's Raiders GM Mike Mayock. From training camp in Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
There you go. Good stuff from Mike Clemens. Always appreciated, and always good to hear from him up at camp. And he is brought to you by our friends at the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, also from Chili's. Hey, a reminder, by the way, speaking of things that I want to get out there, don't forget the 2019 charity golf outing from our flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan, taking place on the 25th of September at Western Lakes Golf Club, and it benefits Give Kids a World Village. It is a tremendous cause. Please come out and join us. All you got to do is go to 1057fmthefan.com. Go to the events page. It's right there at the bottom, the 2019 Charity Golf Outing. You can sign up today. Get your friends. Get your neighbors. You can't bring your dog, but you still can come out and have a wonderful, wonderful time. And it's with a lot of local celebrities and sports figures and newscasters and all that kind of good stuff. So please come out and join us. And if you can just get a few friends together, that'd be a fantastic time. And who knows, maybe you end up with myself or Radio Joe or somebody else in your foursome. And who knows, we may win this thing. I've won this thing with a couple of groups more than a few times. Our buddy Timmy up there in Fredonia, and then Jim Lombardo and the Bell Ambulance crew, we've won that a couple of times. I got two or three of those trophies sitting in the house. So who knows? Come on out and enjoy it. It's always a great time. It's for bragging rights and a lot of fun. And also, don't forget, it's for the kids. It really is. So please come out and help us. We're going to wrap things up here in a couple of minutes. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com going to be joining us. Matt Kenseth, the former NASCAR driver, we're going to talk with him tomorrow as well. He's going to join us on the program. More Packers coverage, getting ready for Thursday night's contest in Winnipeg at Canada. We'll see what happens regarding the Oakland Raiders and whether or not Antonio Brown is back and ready to go and whether or not they're going to have to face him on Thursday night. But that saga continues to spin out there. And we'll talk more about this Brewers team and their first game against the Cardinals. Get you ready for game two as well as to what happens tonight, because this pitching staff. I mean, Zach Davies returning to the Hills, so that's going to be something to pay attention to and obviously talk about tomorrow. But this pitching staff has been giving up far too many runs, far too many long balls. And 30 runs in the last 2 days for a taxed and tired bullpen, just not the way to go. So we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow, and hopefully they can regroup and get a win tonight. Also, Kevin Harlan is going to join us tomorrow. We'll talk some Packers football with the television voice of the Packers football television network. So we'll talk with Kevin Harlan tomorrow. Also talk with him about the upcoming season in general and get his thoughts. But I love talking to Kevin. Kevin's a fantastic guy. And if he's back in the state of Wisconsin right now, you know he's up in Door County and he's taking a listen to us. So, Kevin, I'm looking forward to having him on the program tomorrow. So that's kind of everything coming up. And we'll get more into the discussion regarding the offense because we'll talk two things. We'll go back to the 12%. The 12% right now, the way it stands before play today, that's what the 12% is for the Brewers to actually make the postseason, whether it's as a division winner or as a wild card. We'll talk about that. And I want to get back into the offense because as I got a lot of you chiming in when I was discussing the offensive line play and the weaponry that Aaron Rodgers has, and we've talked about this. Look, there's a couple of X factors here because they haven't changed personnel. Doesn't mean that this offense can't be good, but something just isn't right now. Doesn't mean it can't be or won't be. It just means that right now, right here, today, it just something just ain't right. So we'll talk about that tomorrow as well on the program. Everything that is the show, the events, podcasts, you name it, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Find all the information there. And don't forget, download the Radio.com app, and you can take us everywhere and listen to us all over again should you choose to do so. Till tomorrow, have a good one. I can't believe these 4 hours flew past today, though. Man, went cranking by. Till tomorrow, though. Have a good one. Boop!
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.